exciting. I really enjoyed last week a lot with the fellowship meal. It was really cool to see people social distance, but hang out and get to know one another. And then the giving thing, the giving challenge that we had last week, I'm praying over you as you've signed up for that. I pray that God sends you to the right people, to the right mission, to stand in the gap for other people in their life as well. If you've not yet done it, that's cool. Continue to seek the Lord in that and ask Him clearly, who is it that you want me to love with this money? Who is it that you want me to reach out to and to make sure that they get an extra blessing during this time? How many of you guys have clearly know what you were going to do with that money? Like you've clearly like, bam, okay. How many of you guys are waiting on the Lord right now to understand? Okay, cool. So I'm praying for you. I'm praying for us too for that as well, that we get clarity on it. We're starting a brand new series called Listen. For the next month, we're going to be talking about listening. It kind of seems ironic to talk about listening, but it's necessary for us to learn what it means to hear, what it means to understand, especially in our current culture with things that are going crazy and sideways. Very few people are actually listening to one another right now. All we're doing is talking, and we're sounding off, and we're doing our thing and not listening at all. And so this is a value that we want to create or continue to grow in here at OCC, the value of listening. We want to be known as a people who listen, to that hear what's going on around us. Matter of fact, we want an ear up to God, listening to what it is that He is saying to us, and an ear out to others. So we understand God's call for our life, we're listening to Him, and we're also listening to our culture, our community, our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we shouldn't get ahead of God, but we should wait on Him. But then once we hear of somebody's need, we can now respond to that need because we've also heard them as well. Have you ever been in discussion with people and their eyes glaze over and you knew immediately they were not hearing a word you were saying? Or maybe, you guys don't want to raise your hands today, and that's cool. Or maybe you were having a discussion with somebody and you could see the light in their eyes and they are formulating something to debate with you out of the first five words that you said. Okay, maybe that one's more like what we're talking about then. And I'm not talking about marriages today, so if that's what you thought we were going to do, it's not, okay? But oftentimes in marriage, communication is one of the largest issues that happen. But I think the same thing is true with our culture right now. People are not hearing one another. We're not slowing down. We're not listening. We're not taking in a rhythm of life that basically says, listen, I want to sit here. I want to ask questions. I want to learn about what's going on in your life. I want to learn your view and perspective and how you got that view and perspective. I want to hear how that happened. I want to applaud the elders. In the beginning time when we were searching for our family life minister position, one of the things that we agreed to do was to come up with a list of questions and then bring all the parents together and then just ask them questions and listen. Now, that's hard in leadership. It's really tricky and difficult to say, all right, I'm going to succumb to you. I'm going to just kind of let you talk. And I'm going to ask questions and listen. And I want to applaud the elders for that happening because it was something that we sat around the table with many of you as parents, and we asked questions, and you just got to share, and we were listening. We heard you, and Jordan's here, amen? I mean, Jordan's here because we heard what you were saying. And that's kind of the rhythm that we want to have as OCC. We want to be a people that listen, that hear what's going on. Have you ever said to your child, what were you thinking? Right? And then you're listening real close because you really want to know, what were you thinking, right? Or did you not, what, hear me? Have you ever said that before when they did something dumb or ignorant or hurtful, right? Did you not hear what I said to you? What were you thinking? These phrases are phrases we use as parents to basically say, instead of hearing what I was saying and doing what I asked, you did the opposite. You did the opposite of what I was asking you to do. It happens in the workforce as well. Oftentimes people will model something to do in the workforce. I worked for a window company for a while, many, many, many years ago. And where they extruded this stuff to put in between the windows, they showed me over and over again. And I'm so clumsy. And I would squish the extrusion and the guy would get angry at me because I wasn't doing windows. They'd have to reject half of my windows. Let's just say I didn't last long, okay? But the man was frustrated with me because he's like, did you not watch me? Did you not hear what I said to you about being this way with this? I'm like, I hear you, but it is not computing. Like, this is not, there's something not happening here, right? And I think the same thing is true with us and God at times as well. God's like, listen, this is exactly what I need you to do. Do you hear me? And we're like, yes, Lord, I hear you. And then we do the polar opposite of what God says. In Genesis chapter 2, as a matter of fact, we know this scripture quite well, I'm sure. Genesis 2, 15 through 17 is the beginning of time. Adam and Eve have been given a perfect place to live. They've been given all this wonderful place to live and animals and fruits and vegetables, and it was like handed to them, basically. Life was handed to them. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. By the way, work was still a part of this environment. You still had to work. Now, it wasn't labor, but it was work. It's something you had to do. It goes on and says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, commanded the man, saying, God's speaking to Adam. He says, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely what? Die. Now, how many of us know that last part really well? Like, if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Like, that's all we hear. It's interesting because before that, what did God say to Adam? You can eat of any tree in the garden, right? You can eat of any tree. Like, if you see this and you're like, oh, that looks good this morning, go eat it. You can eat this one over here as well. Any tree in the garden except for that one. Don't eat that one. Now, it's interesting. When God speaks, sometimes we hear him, but all we hear is the what? The negative. All we hear from God sometimes is God's just a mean guy up there that's like, don't do this, don't do that. But that is not God. God plants him in the garden and he says, listen, you can have any of these trees that you want. Just eat of these trees and everything will be fine, but just don't eat of this one. Because you'll die. You'll die if you eat this tree. There's this rebelliousness inside of us that does not want to hear sometimes. Or what we hear sparks this thing inside of us that says, you know what? I'm going to do the opposite of what I was just told. Anybody ever had that thought? How many of you ever been three? Terrible two? Some of us are spiritually terrible twos. You know, God says, listen, you can have all this stuff. You can walk in this way. You can have all these things in your life. And he shows us the beauty of what it means to pursue his commands and to pursue his guardrails. And he says, just do this and you'll have life and have it, what? Abundantly. But just don't do this stuff. And for some reason, we hyper-focus on the don'ts. And then we find ourselves, what? Lusting after the don'ts. Like, oh man, what's he keeping from me? What is he keeping from me that he's saying I can't have? And we say to ourselves, listen, we don't hear God. What we hear is our own self in that moment. The first thing I want to talk about is listening to God is a value worthy of attention. Listening to God is a value worthy of attention. I don't know how many of you in this room right now have a time set aside to listen to God, to read his word and just meditate. Like, God, help me to understand what you're trying to say so I can live this out and obey you. I'd really challenge you over this next month to get a rhythm of life that allows you to have that space to hear from God. Listen, I have a rhythm that I know certain time of day I prefer just to watch TV. I have a rhythm in my life. There's certain times I just want to drive and not hear anything. But it's interesting how hard and difficult sometimes it is to put a rhythm of hearing God, like making sure that all these other things. Listen, I don't skip a meal. That's part of my rhythm. I don't skip rest, right? It's the air we breathe. It's like, that's what we do. We sleep, maybe some of us better than others. But we don't have oftentimes a rhythm in our life that says, listen, I'm going to stop. I'm just going to listen to the Lord. I'm going to read his word and just meditate. I'm going to think about who it is that he's calling me to be or what it is that he has done or how he's calling me to live. As OCCers, we want to get in a rhythm of life that says that we're going to stop at certain seasons, even in our worship gathering. You say, let's just listen to the Lord. Let's read the responsive reading. And at the end of it, we may have a minute and a half of silence just to hear from the Lord. Like, I want you to reread that passage. Like, our nation is desperate for what David shared in that psalm. Desperate for it. Like, God speaks all the time. But the noise of this world keeps us from hearing, and we have not created a rhythm in life to stop long enough to hear him, like truly hear him. Christina knows this with me, that if I'm looking at my phone, the TV, or doing something, I don't hear much, right? She knows she has to put her hand on my lap and say, honey, give me your full what? And how many times is God pleading for that from us? Pleading. Like, this short hour that we have on a Sunday is just that pleading. It's the pleading of the Lord saying, listen, I want your full attention during this time. And may we work this rhythm of what we practice on Sunday for an hour into our lives as well, Monday through Saturday. Maybe a rhythm that we slow down enough to hear from the Lord and walk with God. You see, God met Adam in the garden, and he shows him all these beautiful things. It says, eat of all of this, but just don't eat of that. And here's what happens. There's this rebelliousness inside of us that says, yeah, God, if you're saying this, I'm going to do the polar opposite. In Genesis chapter 3, it goes on and says in verse 1, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. Now we see what's about to happen in the garden. We know, you know this narrative. You know the narrative of Adam and Eve, right? You know the narrative of eating the fruit from the tree that wasn't supposed to be eaten of. The tree. The tree. This is so us. The tree. Like, what is the tree in your life that God says, listen, you can have all this, just don't go there. Just don't go there. It'll kill you if you do it. Like, each one of us have probably something in our life that is the tree for us. The thing that calls to us away from God and says, listen, I could live abundantly in the Lord, but there's this one thing that has a hold of me that's like this tree in the middle of the garden saying, listen, come and eat of it, but if you eat of it, you shall surely what? Die. What is your tree? Well, obviously, I'm talking figuratively. This is quite literal in regards to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But I'll be honest with you. There are certain trees in my life in the garden of what God has given me that cry out to me, and they're not for God or toward God. They're away from Him and towards self. What is your tree? What is the thing that's crying out to you that you desire more than you desire God? That you'd rather have rather than walking with the Lord? He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? I mean, we have the voice of God we listen to. You know, how many of you guys have seen the little drawings and back in the day, a cartoon with the little angel over here, the little demon over here? I mean, this is literally what plays out in this moment. We have Satan coming after them and saying, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? In other words, did you really hear God say that? Did you really hear God say that if you were to live your life fully abandoned to God, that you would have life abundant? Did you really hear that? Did you really hear that you've been freed in Christ? That you have freedom in the Lord? Did you really hear that your sins had been forgiven? Did you really hear that? You sure? You sure you're going to heaven? You sure Jesus is real? Like, these are thoughts that the evil one brings into our lives, and he tries to get us away from who it is that God has called us to be. And the woman said to the serpent, we've talked about this before, don't reply like this. Like, stop talking to the enemy, right? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the tree, of the fruit of the trees in the garden. She's right. We have all these trees we can eat of. But God said, you shall not eat the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you, what? Die. Like, she's saying, listen, God said this. We heard God say this. But it says, but the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Like, this is a battle she ought not be playing in. She heard from the Lord, but here's the thing. Hearing from God demands what? Obedience. Following the rules of the Lord. Following Jesus. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. By the way, he was with her, by the way. He wasn't like off in a distance. He was with her, co-equal in this sin, co-equal in this moment. They take it and they eat it. And then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They knew it in that moment. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Now, it's interesting because God's saying you can have all of this, but if you eat this one thing, this one tree, you shall surely die. Now, here's the thing with listening. This is why I use the illustration about our kids. Did you not hear me? Means something they chose what? Wrongly. They chose. They may have heard, but they did not what? Believe. You see, our actions expose what our heart is after in that moment. Our actions expose whether we truly listened and believed. Because it's this thing of hearing from the Lord and then walking with God. That's what belief and faith is. It's literally hearing from God and pursuing what He told us He is, who He is, and what to do. And in this moment, The evil one speaks and affirms our own appetites. That's point number two. In this moment, the evil one speaks and he affirms our own appetites. Listen, he didn't have to look at Eve and go, oh, look how gorgeous this fruit is. What did the scripture say? Eve looked at the fruit and she says, oh, that's good to the eye. That's a delight. I want that. All he had to do, all the evil one had to do is plant a seed by speaking to her, by making her own self aware of what God is withholding from her and forgetting what God has freely given her. By the way, this is like the fruit of religion as well. Like trying to live in all the bounds without understanding all the stuff and all the freedom that Jesus has given you. When you live off of just the rules and trying to make sure everything's perfect so that you please the Lord, and you're living from this fear factor of, oh no, if I mess up, God's not going to love me anymore, you're going to choose the wrong thing at one point, and you're going to feel totally abandoned by God. But if we understand that God freely gives, we understand that he has freely given salvation and hope to us, we don't live out of that fear. We live out of wanting to please him because of what he has done for us. But the evil one, he speaks and affirms our own appetites. Sometimes the devil doesn't have to say to us a whole lot. All he has to do is say, did God say that? Or you think it's going to hurt anyone? Don't you think you can hide it? I mean, there's all these little things, and then we go towards our own appetite. We do our own thing because we desire to please self over God. We don't hear the Lord sometimes. Because if we truly heard God, we would do what he asked us to do. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. I know I'm hanging out in the Old Testament. Just bear with me for just a little bit, okay? This is called the Shema. As a matter of fact, they still have this prayer every day at the temple and other places in Israel. God says, hear, O Israel, hear. Matter of fact, if we were to take this, what he would be saying to you is, hear, O OCC, right? Listen, OCC. Listen, people. Listen, church. Listen, bride. Hear, O Israel. By the way, the word hear in this moment is saying, listen and obey. Listen and obey. Do you hear me, right? How are you going to walk? Because you heard the truth. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Now, isn't that interesting? He didn't say in your mind. He said on your heart. In other words, your heart's desire, where your treasure is, there your heart is what? Also. So if God has my heart, my desire is to understand who he is and who I am, that I may walk out his commands so that I please him. He says, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. Matter of fact, I'm going to pause right there. Church, here's one thing I want to make crystal clear. It is not the church's job to raise your child in Jesus. It's not our job. Our job is to come alongside of you as you raise your children in God. We want to come alongside of you. We want to help you to grow in Christ. Therefore, you bring that down to your kids and model it in front of them and live it out to them. We want to teach your children. We want to bring them to the basics of what it means to be a follower of God. We want to do that. But ultimately, don't rely on the church to do what God has called you to do. And I don't say that in judgment. I say it in this way. Listen, as God just said to his people, you shall teach the commands of God diligently to your children. The word diligently literally means often, frequently, like work at it, walk with them. How? Every time you talk to them, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise, all the time. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. There's time and seasons where Christina has put notes on the mirror and things like that I've really appreciated, keeping the scripture in front of us. But here's what he's literally saying, church. Our job is to be a living sacrifice, a living testimony of what God has done. In other words, we hear from the Lord, and we walk it out with our kids and other kids and other people, and we show them diligently. We reveal to them. Listening comes to full fruition when it moves from a right idea or thought to embodied instruction. Listening comes to full fruition. In other words, you don't just be like, yeah, I heard you. And then we go off and do the opposite. Instead, listening comes to full fruition. In other words, listening into action when it moves from a right idea or thoughts, in other words, truth that God has said, to embodied action. In other words, instruction rather. In other words, we're living out what God has said, and we're doing so openly. Like, loudly. Not so loud that we're screaming it, but that we're living it loudly. Does that make sense? Like, kids need to observe what it means to pursue God. People need to observe what it means to pursue the Lord. And so he's saying, listen, hear, O Israel. Hear, O OCC. Hear it. The Lord your God is one God. Obey his commands. Walk in them. And then pass them down by living them out. In other words, listening moves from hearing to action. It moves from that. John 10, verse 22, moving to the New Testament. This will be my last scripture where Jesus is talking to his followers and to also the Sadducees, the Pharisees, other religious people in this time. At the time of the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem, it was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple, which is just a beautiful picture. The scriptures say that the Spirit of the Lord walks within us as the temple, in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Like they supposedly desire for Jesus to speak very boldly and plainly to them about who he is. They only want to do it to trap him. Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. Listen to that again. I told you, but you do not believe. In other words, I said it, you heard it, but you don't believe it. Therefore, you didn't what? Hear it for truth. You didn't listen. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. Now, Jesus is being about as bold as he can be with these people in this moment. My sheep do what? Say it. Hear my voice. I'm going to pause there for just a moment. My sheep, Jesus said. Hear my voice. Oftentimes I'll hear people say, I'm not hearing from God right now. And I get that. Like there's times when you have major decisions to make and you're like, Lord, I desperately need to hear from you in this moment. And you know you're his sheep and you're just waiting. The scriptures say to wait patiently, enduring suffering while you're waiting, trusting that you will hear his voice. Scriptures say, my sheep, they hear my voice. And I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I mean, Jesus in this moment reminds them of the fact that, listen, in order to hear the shepherd, you've got to be of his flock. Oftentimes I will talk with people that are going through struggles in their life only to find out that they've stopped the rhythm that has allowed them to be in the presence of the Lord. They've stopped going to church and fellowship or online. They've stopped reading the scriptures. They've stopped praying. They've stopped reading devotionals. They've stopped doing all these things, worshiping. And then I'll ask them, are you surprised that you're not hearing from God right now? Like, are you surprised that your life has taken this shift? Oftentimes in marriage counseling, we find that things are going really well at a certain season because they're implementing certain things all together and it's just clicking just right. And then they come back like 3 months later and go, it's all falling apart. And I'll sit down with them and say, what's changed? Are you still doing this stuff? No, we're not. Why? Why do we expect like God to continue to move when we don't sometimes? And so this rhythm that Jesus is saying, listen, you've got to be within earshot of the shepherd to hear his voice. You've got to be close to the shepherd to hear his instruction, to understand that he's calling you, but how near are you to him to listen? With the noise of the world that's going on right now, it's crying out for you to be distracted from hearing the voice of God. Therefore, make moments of silence. Read his word and stop. That's a hard thing to do right now. Just stop. Like, just listen to what the Spirit of the Lord says. The scriptures say he's crying out, the book of Proverbs. Lady Wisdom is crying out. But are we listening? Are we truly listening to what's going on in our society right now? Are we truly listening to what's happening to families right now? Are we truly listening to what's happening in businesses, in our culture, in our community, in our homes? Are we truly listening? Or are we trying to just distract ourselves from what's going on? Listen, church, we've got to be fully aware. And in order to be fully aware, we have to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. We have to hear his voice. The scriptures say, according to this, what Jesus just, I love this, what Jesus just said, he said, listen, you can't be snatched out of my hand. Stay close to the shepherd. What's the shepherd have? He has a staff to protect you and guard you and pull you back. Stay close to that. Stay near it. If you want to be protected, be near the shepherd. To hear God, one must open their heart and ears to the good shepherd's voice. To hear God, one must open their heart and their ears to the good shepherd's voice. That's a choice you make. By the way, all of your life is always one decision away from something dumb. Like, seriously. It's like one microsecond away from making a wrong decision. And we're no different than Adam and Eve in that way. Like God says, listen, live in abundance. Like live abundantly in the Spirit of the Lord. Like pursue me and I'm there with you. But we're always like this microsecond away of going, you know what, I'm going to do it my way. That fruit looks good. And we have this challenge in that moment. Do I pursue the God who's pursuing me, or do I pursue self? And it's just like this microsecond. How many of you guys ever felt that tension of that microsecond? Just a few of us. That's cool. We'll have the lie detector at all your chairs next week. You know that moment. Okay, we'll make it more applicable. How many of you ever thought to yourself, I shouldn't have this piece of cake, but... Okay, bam. How many of you guys had more than one cookie last week? Yeah, see, there's this microsecond. Let's just make a practice. There's this microsecond of going, I should do the right thing, or in this moment, I'm going to do my thing. And that's an easy example. But the truth is, man, we have so many things that Satan's just going, listen, she'll never know. He'll never know. And in that microsecond, we choose to honor God or honor self. In that microsecond, we say, the fruit looks good. And we choose to hear the shepherd's voice or our own. There's two questions I want you to consider this week. Listening starts with your heart. Isn't that weird? But it's true. Listening starts with your heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. What you're tied to is what you listen to. So what has your heart? Who owns your heart right now? Is it fear? Because if it's so, man, the devil's screaming right now. Screaming through fear. What is it in your life that owns your heart at certain times? Like, we could all confess something, I'm sure. But listening starts with your heart. And number two, what do my actions proclaim about the sources that I listen to? What do my actions proclaim about the sources that I listen to? That's a hard question. I'm not real happy with myself answering that question, to be honest with you. But right now, anger is so present. Arrogance and pride is so present, and it's because of the sources of the voices that you're listening to. The scriptures say Jesus is meek and lowly in heart, humble. So if the good shepherd is that, and he's calling to us, and he's saying, get rid of pride and walk with me, come and follow me, may we lay that stuff down. Just as Jesus laid his life down and pursue the one who's pursuing us. Father God, I pray that as we respond